From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Froneberry.
Good morning and welcome to Veterans Radio. Hello to the rest of the world out there, to America, to our friends in Tasmania and Australia and Iraq and around the world on the internet. You're listening to Veterans Radio and I am your host this morning. My name is Dale Throneberry. Joining me in my studio is my partner in crime, Gary Lilly.
How are you doing, Dale?
I'm doing just terrific. And running our borders, our air boss, all by himself in there, is Airborne Bob Gould.
Hoo-wah!
As usual, with his limited vocabulary. But that's okay. That's what they do. We've got a great program today coming up, and I'm very excited about it. We're going to be talking to some of the Red Cross women that were in Vietnam, better known as Donut Dollies. And we'll get into the history of how they got the name Donut Dollies in a minute.
Did you come across any Donut Dollies while you were there?
Yes, I did. But I don't remember what their names were. All I remember is that they had on these powder blue dresses.
Right.
And I took a picture as they were approaching my helicopter, but it was too far away. I would have put that out. That would have been the picture I used. But the picture I used evidently turned out to be very humorous to one of our guests because she was able to. I didn't use her picture. I used some other women's picture, and I apologize for that, Emily. But we'll talk about that later on also. So anyway, we're very excited about this. We've got three Vietnam-era Donut Dollies to be on the program to tell their stories, and I think that they're amazing stories. For those of us that were there, they really were a touch of home to see American women in a combat zone, which is just really bizarre.
It was for me, too. I came across some Donut Dollies down by the beach near Chu Lai, and I stared. I really was waving to Boner. I mean, I stared like, oh, my gosh.
I'm sure we all kind of thought, wait a second, what are they doing here?
Right, exactly.
There's got to be some sort of mistake.
Looking so cheerful.
They were. They were always cheerful. All the time, which I think is great, at least in, you know, to us. They have some stories where they weren't necessarily quite so cheerful all the time. They also had experiences similar to many of the soldiers that were in Vietnam, and I think that that's important also, that we'll try to talk tap in on that later on during the program. But right now, I have an announcement to make. You know how hard it was to get that orchestra in the studio this morning? Anyway, I want to welcome KIXW, El Dorado Broadcasters, Talk Radio 960 AM, the voice of the high desert in Apple Valley, California, their program manager, Joe Picano. I want to welcome KIXW to the Veterans Radio Network, and thanks very much. For those of you out in Apple Valley, you need to go. They're going to be playing the program at their convenience, so you may need to check their schedule to see when it will be on the air, or our website. They're going to be up there. Remember that you can listen to our program live on Veterans Radio at veteransradio.net. So, again, welcome, KIXW. That's six now. So we're moving right along, folks. We had three at the beginning of the year. We picked up three since January. If you have a station nearby where you are listening to the program on the internet and you'd like to listen to it live, go to our website, veteransradio.net, click on Contact Us, and send us the name of the program manager. We'll get a hold of them and see if we can get our program on the air where you are. And right now we've got a little update on one of our guests from a previous program. Gary?
Thank you, Dale. On March 8th, we had a Battlefield Promises show, and the people heard two stories of men who promised God that if he got them through the peril they were in, they'd devote the rest of their life to his service. Silver Star recipient, the Reverend John Steer, was with the 173rd Airborne Division. He lost an arm and lay severely wounded on the battlefield of Hill 875 for 3 days, having to cover himself with the bodies of dead friends whenever the NVA soldiers came around. Well, we just learned that John Steer will be having open-heart surgery on Tuesday, May 20th, at the Mountain Home, Arkansas Hospital. Reverend Steer, you are in our thoughts and prayers. You've survived a lot worse than this.
That's very true. Thank you. And, our hearts and prayers do go out to him. And, we take care of our own. We took care of them then. We'll take care of them now. Bob, you've got a welcome home for us right now?
Yes, I do, Dale. Welcome home each week on Veterans Radio. We welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country. Dateline, Lincoln, Nebraska. 180 soldiers from the Nebraska National Guard's 600th Transportation Company arrived home to Lincoln, Nebraska after serving 1 year in Iraq. Dateline, Fort Dix in New Jersey. 60 soldiers landed at McGuire Air Force Base, most of them members of the 535th Military Police Battalion. They arrived home from guarding 4,000 detainees at internment facility near the Baghdad airport. Dateline, Kauai, Hawaii. 10 soldiers from the Hawaii National Guard's 29th Infantry Brigade Combat Team returned home to Kauai, where they have spent the last 6 months in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Aloha. Boone, Iowa. The smiling faces of friends, family, and loved ones greeted 60 soldiers of the Iowa National Guard's 2nd Brigade Combat Team, the 34th Infantry Division, and the 1st Battalion, 194th Field Artillery, arriving after being deployed in Afghanistan. Dateline, Corpus Christi, Texas. 38 troops from Charlie Company's 123rd flew into the Corpus Christi International Airport following a seven-month tour in Iraq. Dateline, Astoria, Oregon. The North Coast welcome home the 234th Engineer Company based at Re-La-A Armed Forces Training Center, who arrived back after serving in Iraq. Welcome Home is sponsored each week by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholars Program, visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. Welcome Home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com. Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail, and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs. On Veterans Radio, and that was a song called Incoming that was written by one of our guests this morning, Emily Strange. Emily, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
I'm sorry the recording wasn't the best, but that was all I could do.
That's okay. It was recorded in a service club in Dong Tam, so the quality wasn't good to start out with.
Well, that's all right. We kind of boosted it up. But I think the reason that I played that is I wanted people to understand that not only were the troops in Vietnam afraid of incoming, but also all of the civilian workers that were over there, including you. And before I get too far, I want to make sure that I welcome Susan McLean. Susan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
I'm terrific. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And also I want to welcome Holly Watts. Holly, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks a lot. Good to be here.
It is good. It is good to talk to all three of you. Emily, I'm going to go back to you. There were about 627 Red Cross, and I use the term loosely here, volunteers, that were working in Vietnam. Now, let's straighten a few things out. You didn't volunteer to join the Red Cross, did you?
Well, yeah, I went and applied for a job.
There we go. Okay, that's what I wanted to get. You were paid to,
yes,
by the Red Cross, but once you got in there, didn't they offer you the option of a couple of other assignments? Emily?
No.
No. All right, let me go. I'll move right down over.
Just move on along. That's okay. Okay.
Holly, were you told where you were going to go?
No, we did volunteer for. We had two choices when you signed up for SRAO, which means Supplemental Recreational Activities Overseas, and the choices were Vietnam and Korea.
Oh, so you didn't have a whole lot of options.
Well, it's not like we were recruited to apply. We did that of our own free will. I saw a brochure in my placement office at college. I don't know how Susan and Emily thought of it or found it.
Holly, while I'm talking to you, why did you join up?
Well, I had already signed up with the Peace Corps, and they accepted me, but they wanted me to start in April before graduation. That probably would have sent my father into apoplexy since he was helping foot the bill for college. So I found something else. I had a major in psychology, which if anyone knows an undergraduate degree in psychology, really doesn't give you much in the way of professional options unless you go on for a master's or PhD, and I wasn't interested, but I wanted to do something, and I called it patriotism without boot camp.
Oh.
And that was, well, my cousin Johnny was a strong influence. He had joined the Marines while I was in college, and that was really the first time that Vietnam became real to me. You know, otherwise it was just this little Asian country and these people on the television sets in everybody's living room. But Johnny was my cousin, and he went to Vietnam, so I thought, I could do that. We were, can we say, naive?
Well, just a little bit, you know, not that all of us were. Susan, why did you join up?
Well, the summer of 69, I had the opportunity to tour in Europe with my college, and we had the chance to go into East Berlin. And something about studying communism versus actually being in a communist country was a real wake-up call when we were there. And I knew I wanted to do something to try to fight communism, but the only way that I knew of that girls could get to Vietnam was to be a nurse, and I obviously was not nurse material. I was heading into my senior year to be a teacher, so I was trying to find some way that I could do my part in this battle, and I found out about donut dollies.
Well, we're grateful that you did that. Emily, I'm coming back to you now. Why did you join up?
Well, you know, the Vietnam War was pretty much all around us in college. And I saw going to Vietnam as an opportunity to find out what was really going on.
And when were you in Vietnam?
69.
69. Susan, how about you?
August of 70 to August of 71.
And then Holly?
I'm the old guy in the bunch here. I started in September of 66, and I left in September 67.
Well, Gary, maybe that's the woman you saw on the beach.
Where were you?
Da Nang and Chu Lai, An Khe, and Cu Chi.
Chu Lai in 66?
Yeah.
How many of you were there at Chu Lai?
We had eight in our unit in Da Nang, maybe. I don't know, it was eight or ten. It's interesting how long we worked with each other and how many were there. You know, I just don't remember.
Now, wait a minute. I want to get down to this.
Did I see you in country? This is not a dating service here.
Did I see you in country? Were you down by the beach?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Wow.
I'm sure that was me.
Is she the one with the hat on? I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't wear the hat. Yes. I didn't wear the hat.
Not all the time.
No.
Okay. Well, it's just like all of our meetings the presentations that we do locally and around the country with Vietnam veterans is that the whole conflict changed from 1966 to 1970 and 71.
So,
Yeah, most of our experiences were a little bit different. I was in Vietnam in 1969. And unfortunately, I did not meet Emily at the time. I only got down to Dong Tam one time, and I just remember there being a lot of water around. It seemed swampland type area. But I wanted to get into a couple of your stories, obviously, because I think they're really important. And Emily, I'm going to start with you. What were your duties there? And I know you didn't make donuts. That was kind of left over from World War II. And I guess we could clear up that argument, too, that some people were upset that in World War II that they were charged for the donuts. Is that true?
Yes.
A nickel or something?
I wasn't there, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know. Neither was I. But that's all right. But that was one of the rumors that I heard, that they were upset by that.
It's true that they were charged. However, it was because the Army required that they charge, because our allies could not afford to give out coffee and donuts for free, so our allies had to pay for it, you know, when they got it from their
I got it. Okay,
so they had to pay, and the Army said, the Army said it's not fair that the allies have to pay and ours don't, so to make it equitable, you have to charge.
Okay, I got it now. We can't, you know, we couldn't do anything special just for you guys.
Right, right.
All right. So what were your duties down in Dong Tam?
I fortunately was with a mobile unit, so I got to fly out in helicopters every day to the fire bases around Dong Tam.
Mm-hmm.
And we carried just silly games. We would make programs using, like, concentration-type Jeopardy, mm-hmm. where you ask questions. And we would make the programs about things that reminded the guys of home. We'd make them about movies, cars, sports, TV shows, so that for just a little while, they could be home.
Well, you know, and obviously that you were very, very effective. I mean, considering that there were only a little over 600 of you in country the whole time and, 4 or 5 million men.
It was good odds.
Yeah, pretty good odds. You probably would have found somebody that you liked as you went along. Holly, I want to ask you, since you were there at the beginning, let's put it that way.
It was a different war after Tet. It really was.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Right.
Did you get to fly around? I mean, I'm looking at a copy of Holly's book. It's called Mud Socks and Other Things that I just got this morning.
Oh, good.
That's all right. I read some of the other things earlier. And she's standing in front of, actually, she's standing in mud, it looks like, up to her ankles.
Which is nothing, Penny, what's Penny's name?
Evans.
Evans, yes, has a picture that's even better because her mud's up to her knees.
Oh.
I mean, this was not unusual, but in this case, I had just stepped out of the helicopter onto what I thought was dry mound of dirt, and it was anything but.
Well, Holly, when you started off out there, did you also go out to the fire bases, or how far out did you go?
Oh, yeah. Fire support bases all over the place, yeah. Even in Da Nang, although we had the 1st Land Battalion on the very top of Monkey Mountain, we went up towards Red Beach, and we went to, you're going to find that the names have thoroughly escaped me, but we used to fly to Chulai, once a week, because we did not have a permanent unit there until after midsummer 1967. So we were flying. We pretty much flew every day, unless we had center duties, which were up on Freedom Hill. Hill 327 is what it was originally called.
Well, what were your? I'll start with you, Holly. What were your living arrangements like?
Well, Da Nang was plush by some comparisons. We had what we called a French villa, but we had so many women. You had three bathrooms, I think, and five bedrooms. So we may have had 10 people in that unit.
Well, that wasn't too bad.
But we also had a guard at the front gate and a pretty high wall that went around the entire house, which got hit during Tet, as I understand. So I don't know what their situation was afterwards, but in 1965, because Da Nang was the first unit to open through at least January 1968, we lived in a French villa at 5 Tran Quy Cap, Da Nang.
Oh, right. That's kind of probably a little bit more primitive, but not much. Only from your pictures. All of these, by the way, all these women, you can find information about them on the internet, just by typing their names in. And there are stories and photos, and it's just amazing. It really does. It gives all of us a good flashback to see these pictures.
Flashbacks are good.
Yeah, good flashbacks are good. Emily, you live down in the Delta, and. From your pictures, everything wasn't quite as plush as Holly sounded like.
No. But at least I could go home in the evenings and sleep in a bed. So primitive compared to some things, but certainly not like sleeping in the rice paddies.
Right. Yeah, right now.
So, everything's a matter of perspective.
That's true. Well, let's moving forward to the 70s. Susan, what was it like where you were?
Well, I started out in ONK with the 4th Division, and they went home. We got there, and they left. So I went to TDY in Da Nang for a month, and then we started a unit on the DMZ in Quan Tri. So we had one big room with four girls, four cots, and that was about it until a Chinook landed in our backyard one day and blew us right off the foundation. So, and then I ended up my tour in Quinyon, which was gorgeous facilities. So
okay, well,
it varied depending upon where we were and when we were there.
Yeah, we've got a call on the line. Gary Stewart wanted to make a comment to the Dollies. Gary, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yes, thank you all very kindly for being over there and doing what you did. I was at Chulai at the same time Gary Lilla was, and I was kind of like him when I first saw the first donut dolly over there. Kind of odd to see American women over there, unless they were nurses.
No.
Thank you all, and welcome home.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you for what you did over there.
I was just doing my job.
So were we here.
Right. Gary, you just mentioned also that you were up in the Chulai area.
Yeah, I was at Chulai, my first tour. I was at Wei, Fubai, Quang Tri, Ashau Valley, my second tour.
You sound like a travel agent.
Where are you calling in from?
Poplarville, Mississippi.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Gary. Appreciate it, and welcome home
You're
to
welcome.
You. But ladies, I'm going to kind of throw this question out there. Gary just mentioned it, that, you know, seeing American women over there, how difficult was it dealing with these 500,000 men that hadn't seen women?
Well, the ratio was only 4,000 to 1.
Okay, well, all right.
and we knew it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, tell me a little bit about, if each of you could, just a experience of having to deal with these guys. Now, you're looking at 18 to, you know, and up, and there are women there, and there are no women that they can talk to or be around, and I'm sure that they probably wanted to take you out to the prom.
No, well, we found there was a lot of times it was just the opposite, that they just wanted to stand and stare, that they really didn't know what to say. They were afraid if they did start to talk, they would use a word that would offend us. So a lot of times it was very difficult because they really had lost their social graces, and it was up to us to carry on 90% or even 99% of the conversation because they were probably in shell shock or something.
Do you know how many times I've told that? This is Gary Lilly. How many times I've told that story about just standing and staring and afraid, being afraid to talk?
Right.
He still is. all right. Next. What else, Annie? Yes.
Well, I was going to say there were times when we'd take advantage of knowing that they hadn't heard an American woman over the landlines. When I had one story in my original book about putting on a headset and listening in the cockpit to all the stuff that was going on when the pilot wrote down some flight information and told me to call it in, and knowing darn well that these guys were not expecting the woman, and I just decided to pour it on with a southern accent and said, I used my best southern drawl to identify our aircraft for the AF field and requested a landing instruction. Of course, there was no response, and the guys in the cockpit were falling on the floor. Then the radio clicked, and this guy said, would you repeat that, please, ma'am? And I breathlessly added a touch of Marilyn Monroe. And they were just hanging out the tower windows when we landed. The tower was, you know, this Quonset hut or something, but it was used as a...
I'm sure
house.
That they were, because and they were probably drooling, too.
I don't think so.
Where did this come from?
Yeah. They just... In 1966, the American nurses were on the ships. They were not on land. Now, I say that in 1966. They started moving in by the end of the year. But we kind of had the men to ourselves in terms of men to women, the USO and Red Cross were on the Hill, and we probably had special services and some other non-governmental organizations, but the nurses weren't there yet because they hadn't finished staffing the hospital.
Okay. And I know that there was a serious incident that did occur, and I want to get that because we've got about a minute to go before the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Susan, I wanted to ask you about that, where one of the Donut Dollies was killed, actually.
Yes, that would be Virginia Kirsch. Jenny was her nickname, and she was in my training class, and we arrived in Saigon in August of 70, and my first assignment, I left on a Sunday to go to An K, and she left to go to Koo Chi with the 25th Infantry Division, and 3 days after she arrived there, she was murdered by a GI who had just arrived in country.
Wow. Is that the only loss that the Red Cross women had?
No, we had three others.
And were they killed by hostile fire or accidental, or what happened?
One was a disease, the Guillain-Barre disease. One was an accident. And what was the fourth one?
The C5A Galaxy, but
finished. The baby lift. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Veterans Radio and the Donut Dollies.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private First Class Henry Girk threw himself on a grenade to save his fellow soldier. Details after this.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. I had crossed that thin line. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
AFC Darrell Willis proved he could be one of us. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES.
While his platoon was engaged in the defense of a vital roadblock on Bougainville Island, Girk, in company with another Marine, was delivering a fierce stream of fire against the main vanguard of the Japanese. Concluding from the increasing number of grenade barrages that the enemy was determined to annihilate their small two-man foxhole, he resorted to a bold and desperate measure for holding out despite the torrential hail of shells. When a Japanese grenade dropped squarely into the foxhole, Girk, mindful that his companion manned an automatic weapon of superior firepower and therefore could provide more effective resistance, thrust him roughly aside and flung his own body over the missile to smother the explosion. Girk sacrificed himself in order that his comrade might live to carry on the fight. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Gary Lilly and Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lilly and Associates, the newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.
You get to the top, get hooked in, and then you look over the edge. I was like, no way am I jumping off this tower. I'm staying right here. I'm like, am I ever going to be good enough to be a Marine? When it was all said and done, watching the car guard raise the American flag, I thought, I am a United States Marine.
PFC Keith Balka knows you don't join the Marines, you become one. Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and I just want to finish up a little story we were talking about earlier with the donut dollies. Is the woman who was killed, the soldier who did the murder, he has been in prison. And so I want to make sure that he was caught, convicted, and sent to jail. I wanted to get that out there.
That's not true.
He's not in jail?
No, that's not true. He was found incompetent to stand trial. So he was given an honorable discharge from the Army, and he went back to his home state of Wisconsin, where he committed another murder. And in 1972, when he committed the second murder, he was sent to an asylum in Wisconsin, and he was just released January of this year.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. Oh, thank you for correcting that, but
he never stood trial for her murder, and for the second murder in the state of Wisconsin, he did spend from 1972 to January of 2008 in a mental institution in Wisconsin.
Well, let's we got to move on. I got to pick this up a little bit there. I'm really sorry that occurred. That's my fault. We do have a call, though, of somebody that wanted to talk to you. I've got a call from a woman named Sam in Connecticut.
Hey.
And Sam, you're on Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
And what would you like to say to our donut dollies?
Well, I'm
she is one.
Holly. One. Okay. I didn't get that note either.
Like Holly, I was there early. I was 67, 68. And I just want to say that I think it's wonderful that you are covering the donut dollies because it is a dying breed. And so much of the unique history that we all brought to the situation is disappearing. So the focus that you are bringing to the fact that donut dollies were there and they had problems is just a wonderful fact. And I appreciate that.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for calling Veterans Radio. And are you listening on the Internet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It sounds fabulous.
Thank you very much, Sam.
You're welcome.
Have a nice little reunion here on the air. I want to get back and try to get some of your stories out here. And so let me start off with Susan. What would you say is your most memorable memory from your experience?
I think the thing that really sticks with me the most is at night we used to go into the hospitals and write letters for the GIs that were wounded, and then we would send the letters off to the fiancés or off to the mothers, and then he would disappear, go to Japan, and then go on home. And I think that was always the thing that I remember most is I always wondered what happened to them after he got back to the States.
Now, we've talked to a number of nurses on this program also from the Vietnam era, and they said that's one of their questions also. You know, what happened to these men and women? And I know, and Holly, I'm going to kind of segue into a story, I believe it was, or a poem that I read of yours that talked about a gentleman named, was it Bowman or Bauman?
Oh, Harry Bowman.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tell me about Harry.
Well, I met him when I came back and worked in the hospital in Portsmouth, Virginia. He was a corpsman, and we dated for a while. Then he went over, and he was killed at Haiphong Pass on Operation Houston, too. But the men that were with him, he got the Silver Star. He was killed attending to the wounded. And the men that were with him are phenomenal. I spent a couple of days with them last summer in Tennessee, and they're just a magnificent bunch of men. It's I don't know what to say about Bo. He was He was funny. He was a very giving, caring guy. I think that the one thing that sticks in my mind is a story his sister told me, because Jerry Lomax, who was in his unit and his very good friend, gave me his two sisters' names, and I'd become very good friends with his oldest sister. And she said he used to stand on his hands until the coins fell out of, walk on his hands until the coins fell out of his pocket so his nieces and nephews could chase them in the grass.
Oh,
that kind of guy.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I like that. What would you say is one of your most memorable memories of being in country?
I think my airplane crash.
Well, that would be memorable, yes. And what did you crash in?
Well, it turned out Admiral Wechsler's plane. I was coming up from Chulai, and Admiral Wechsler turned out to be the father of one of the women I went to college with, which was weird, but I didn't know that until after we landed. We landed, but we had no brakes. The plane careened from side to side in an effort to slow down. We ended up in a radar tower, and I had pulled off my safety belt when we touched down, not realizing I was going to end up going what I called ass over tea kettle down the aisle. So I was more mortified and embarrassed by my stupidity. And the kid in the tower broke both legs because he had a plane in his lap, and the pilot's head was bloody. We survived due to his expertise, I'm sure, because it was pretty healthy crash.
You know, two comments I have to that. Number one, if you walk away from it, it's a good landing. And the second thing, I guess that's where the rule came: to keep your seatbelt on while we're taxiing to the terminal.
Funny thing, I do that now.
I'm sure that you do. Actually, I have another call on the line that you folks might like to hear. Her name is Joanne Puffer. She's from Rochester Hills, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And Joanne, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I want to say hello to all the girls.
Hey, Joanne's a donut dolly too.
Yes, May 66 to 67.
Well, welcome home to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to say hello to the girls. And I want to take the opportunity to say thank you to all the veterans for the fact that they treated me so well when I was over there. I never heard a bad word said in front of me. Everyone was always a complete gentleman. And ever since then, every time I am around veterans, when they find out I was a donut dolly, they thank me, and they treat me so beautifully, and I get these big, huge bear hugs, and they're just so wonderful that I couldn't ask for better treatment and more respect and honor.
Well, you deserve it, that's for sure.
Ones who did all the heavy lifting. All we did was just show up.
Yeah, but sometimes if we hadn't seen something like you, it wouldn't have reminded us what we were fighting for.
That feels great. Thank you.
It's very important. Thank you very much, Joanne, for calling.
Okay.
Emily, tell me a little bit about your most memorable experience. We've got about a minute and a half. If that's enough time, then we're going to take a break. We can finish it after the break.
You know, I think for me, just being at the fire bases, and like her, I just felt like they really respected me, that
with your phone, we'll call you back during the break. Getting some feedback there. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but Susan, what was your most humorous experience?
I remember one time I went to a picnic and this young man walked up and he said, "It's my birthday. May I have my picture taken with you?" And I said, "Why, of course." And he said, "Well, do you mind if I put my arm around you?" And I said, "Well, that would be fine." So then guys started lining up behind him to have their picture taken. And after about 10 minutes, I realized that the gentleman taking the pictures had not changed film. There wasn't any film in the camera.
Took 700 pictures with one roll of film, right?
But they were all lined up to stand there with their arm around me in pose.
I think that's terrific. That is good. That is good. Well, we're coming up on a break at 45 after the hour, and we'll be back with some more questions for our guests, Donut Dollies of the Vietnam era. Without them, many of us, I don't know if we would have survived. The idea of somebody being there for us is just amazing. We'll be right back.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
The first job you choose in life can make or break your future. Making that decision takes facts. Here's a fact. The U.S. Air Force offers viable training, higher education, medical care, and experience. So when it's time to choose your career, check out the Air Force. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on at airforce.com. Cross into the blue with the U.S. Air Force. No one comes close.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com.
Gary Lilly and Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lilly and Associates, the newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and today's program we're talking with donut dollies from the Vietnam era, Red Cross workers who volunteered to go to Vietnam, except for Emily.
right.
Yeah. Okay, Emily, you are back on the air. That's good. I didn't get a chance to ask you about what one of your humorous adventures.
She has so many. I love them.
I know it's hard to. I know we all have the same problem. Let's see which one can I. Which one can I say over the air?
Yeah.
Were you asking me?
Yeah, I am asking you.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. We flew out to fire bases, and we usually flew in Chewies, but sometimes they'd pick us up in Loaches, those little bubble helicopters where there's two seats in the front, two seats in the back, but there's only one pilot.
Right.
And so they would let us sit, like when I would sit up front and actually fly it once they got it off the ground.
Whoa, there's an adventure.
Yeah, which was, you know, really cool. So at one fire base, there was a guy who needed to go back in the dong cam. And
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, he was like in the back right seat. I was flying in the left front seat. And at some point, the pilot actually took over but it appeared I was still flying it. And he started low leveling where you had to jump over the paddy dikes and then, you know, turn it sideways to go through the trees. And periodically I would look back at that guy and smile and nod, and the blood was just draining from his face.
I love it.
They would always get upset by those things. We did that once where we pulled a Chinese. We were all four pilots went off on something one time, and we landed, and we had some general's aide or something like that. We did a Chinese fire drill where we all jumped into different seats. And they freak. I don't understand what the problem is with that.
Yeah.
Is with that. We got to go. We got one more guest on the phone calling up. And here's the motivation for my doing this program. Cheryl Fries is a director, a documentary director of programs that we have covered on Veterans Radio, In the Shadow of the Blade. And she's not online for any longer. Okay, he's making all kinds of signs. I think she's around somewhere, but we'll get to her. Anyway, that's the reason that I was motivated to do this. And until she comes back on the line, a new documentary, The Vietnam War's Red Cross Girls, is called A Touch of Home. It's not quite finished. I know that she's got rough cut copies out there, but she's hoping that it will be available for distribution starting in the fall. And if you want to get more information on that, you can go to arrowheadfilms.com. That's arrowheadfilms.com. I watched some segments of it on their website. It looks like a great documentary, women, and I'm really excited to see it. They do such a great job.
Yeah, the full title is The Vietnam War's Red Cross Girl.
And I know that, Holly, I know you were involved in it quite a bit, it sounds like.
Yeah, I helped narrate, I narrated and co-wrote it.
And thank you for that. Emily, I know that you were in it also, as Susan, you were too.
Yes.
Did they come and film you now, or did they use photos, or did you provide photos for them?
Lots of photos. We're still looking.
Oh, you're still looking. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
We went to the hospitals, but rarely took cameras in there, so we're trying to show what we did without. We're just kind of looking for pictures of those of us who worked in the hospital.
I know, and Emily, you've got a lot of pictures on your website. Could you give us that website?
EmilyDD.com.
EmilyDD.com, as in EmilyDonutDolly.com.
Right.
Holly, I know you have a website also.
It's Holly, Holley, Watts, WATTS.com.
Okay. And Susan, I don't know if you have a website, but I did find a lot of information about you on the web.
No, I'm technologically challenged.
But if you go to the internet and you Google in Susan Bradshaw McLean, McLean, it will come up with a story from, the website is war-stories.com/donutdolly. And there's a pic. I love the pictures of all three of you from that life long ago, whatever it was.
And, so long ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, it seemed like a long time. I always look at my pictures and I go, who is that person? oh, yeah, I know him. I remember him in the middle of the night sometimes. Well, one of you mentioned, I'm sorry, I don't remember who said that I guess it was a caller, that the Donut Dollies are going away. There are the Red Cross volunteers in Iraq, do you know?
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
There are. I don't think they're SRAO, but I think they're service to military installations. I was talking to someone at Red Cross a couple of weeks ago, but I don't have the details on that. I just know that they are there.
Okay, Gary had a question for you.
This is a question for Holly.
Okay.
I remember you or one of the people you served with being there, but I can't remember what you did, and I've always wondered about that. When we stood and stared in disbelief, what were you doing there? Were you actually giving out donuts and coffee?
No, no. If we had any drinks at all, they were probably Kool-Aid.
Oh, Lord.
And depending on if we came in on a flight with the day's meals, we would help serve, but donuts, the only time we got donuts, well, it wasn't even donuts, we'd get cookies, is we'd comshaw them from a kindly chef cook, you know, one of the cooks. But they'd cook a bunch up for us, and we'd take them with us. But I wanted to throw in, you were talking about funniest and things that we remembered. One of the biggest surprises I had was I was crossing the base camp at Coochee, and I noticed this guy walking toward me heading for the helicopter port, going out all dressed up in battle regalia. And I had to look at him twice because I was thinking, he doesn't need to wear that here. Turned out I went to college with him. So when I encouraged him to stay at least to have dinner with the unit, which he did, he was brought in for an interview as a general's aide. The thing that he remembered 25 years later when I showed him the book was I said in the book, I bet you didn't tell the guys that you dated with a bunch of women that you said you ran into a college buddy to explain your delay coming back. And he said, that's exactly what I said. There's no way I was going to tell him I had dinner with seven women.
Oh, right. What is comshaw?
Oh, beg, borrow, and steal.
Oh, okay.
Was that only
acquired?
Was that only
acquired.
A Navy term? I often wondered if every branch of the service used the same.
No, I don't think we did. I don't remember that. Unfortunately, we're running up against the top of the hour here, and as usual, we always run out of time and opportunity to tell our story. So I can see a Donut Dolly's 2 in the horizon, and I want to thank all three of you so very much for being on Veterans Radio. We're going to go out in about 20 seconds, and actually I'm going to play another tune that Emily wrote called America Called, and I just want our audience to appreciate what all the women did in Vietnam, not just the Donut Dollies, but the nurses and the special services and USO, everything. We could not have done it without you. I want to thank you all very much, and unfortunately, I got to hit my mark, so I'm going to say you are dismissed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In a peaceful park on the Potomac stands a tribute to the Vietnam War, bearing flowers, flags, and candles. They came to honor once more. And I thought as I read all the thousands of names on that shiny black granite wall, that they died because America called. Wearing jungle fatigues and a boonie hat, he pushed his wheelchair toward the wall, talking to himself. Of the men that he'd seen fall, friendships he found only in war, while facing death each day.
Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.